my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I do pray you're having a blessed, happy, and holy Tuesday of Holy Week, and happy you are here with us, and we pray that you'll allow us the honor over the next number of days to be part of your Holy Week, Easter Triduum, and Easter listening experience as we bring you lots of programming that will certainly enhance the season for you. Of course, this is the holiest of weeks, and we're entering into soon the Easter Triduum, beginning on Holy Thursday, and then the glory of Easter Sunday and Easter week. Every day is an Easter day. Today, I will share with you our Holy Father's teaching from Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then we're going to go to Father Fernandez from In Conversation with God, a reflection on this day, Tuesday in Holy Week, Jesus Christ the King. And, you know, we're going to be remembering our Lord's Passion throughout this week, especially as we go to Good Friday, beginning on Holy Thursday. But Holy Thursday really is the Holy Thursday liturgy is a beautiful liturgy, unique in so many ways, as we remember the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood, the Last Supper, Jesus washing the feet of his apostles. And you know, when you go to Holy Thursday Mass, the vestments and the altar cloths are white. We sing the Gloria, the bells ring. It's a joyful Mass. And then, of course, it concludes with the transference of the Eucharist into a special place of honor and spend time with our Lord in the garden before we enter into Good Friday and Holy Saturday. So beautiful, beautiful liturgies, and we'll bring them all to you here on Domestic Church Media. So we hope that you will allow us the honor and privilege of serving you that way during these very holy days. And let's pray first, though, my friends, and we're praying still this deliverance prayer for parents. You know, we're coming up to, again, another holy day, but in a holiday where we gather as family on Easter Sunday and hopefully throughout Easter week, because every day is an Easter day, so we hope you celebrate it every day, but especially Easter Sunday. And we want family unity. We want families to be united in heart, mind, and soul, and in love and charity. And so the devil hates that. He can't stand family. He can't stand family unity. He can't stand Catholic families, especially, who come together and pray. So we're praying this prayer of deliverance, and I invite you in your heart to pray it with me. As we know, spouses have divine authority over their own bodies, their spouses, and their minor children. And so they have the ability to cast out evil from themselves, their spouses, their minor children. But then we also invoke Almighty God to cast out any evil that may be affecting our adult children. And, you know, the devil comes in and he just does everything in his power to divide and destroy that unity. So we have to pray that away. So let's begin, my brothers and sisters, as we begin all good things, that is, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent to lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family, especially during this Holy Week and Easter season. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my brothers and sisters, we raise up those special intentions for which we pray right now. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And let's pray our prayer to Saint Michael and to Our Lady, as Holy Father asks us to pray to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that intention of the Holy Fathers, we also add to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And I want to add and begin to pray this memorare to Saint Joseph to protect families and to protect husbands and wives and children, and to dwell in every Catholic home, because the demons flee when they see Saint Joseph. So we pray. Remember, O most illustrious patriarch Saint Joseph, on the testimony of Saint Teresa, your devoted servant, that never has it been heard that anyone who invoked your protection or sought your assistance has not obtained relief. In this confidence, I come to you, my loving protector, chaste spouse of Mary, foster father of the Savior of men, and a dispenser of the treasures of his most sacred heart. Despise not my prayer, but graciously hear and answer my petition. And here, my friends, again, just raise up your special intentions. And let us pray. O God, who by your ineffable providence chose Saint Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant, we beseech you, that he whom we venerate as our protector on earth may be our intercessor in heaven. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. And today and for the next number of days here leading up to next week's Radiothon, for the financial needs of domestic church media, Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my friends, I thank you for praying, and thank you for being here today. I know it's probably for many of you a busy time as you prepare for your family Easter celebration, but do allow us the honor and privilege of being a part of these holy days and the glory of Easter. You know, we have a lot of wonderful programming coming up tomorrow morning, by the way, tomorrow will mark the 8th anniversary. I can't believe it's that long, but 8 years ago that our dear mother Angelica was called home to the Lord. And so in honor of that, EWTN is going to have a special mass tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, commemorating the anniversary of Mother's passing. And so we will bring that to you live at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And then, of course, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, lots and lots of special programming throughout those holy days. And we conclude the Easter Triduum, or actually Easter Sunday, I should say, with, as we've been doing the past number of years now since the pandemic, 10 hours of continuous Easter music, beginning around 1:30. We wait until the Mass, the Easter Sunday Mass at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington for their Easter Sunday Mass at noon. Usually ends around 1:30 or so, and then we kick in with our continuous Easter music right until midnight on Easter Sunday. So you can keep us on Easter Sunday in the background, maybe during your Easter celebrations, have all those alleluias and glorias being proclaimed. The Lord is risen, and that'll be, as we've been doing the past number of years, right through midnight on Easter Sunday. And then next week, Easter week, you know, every day, again, is an Easter day. Easter, it's not just one day on Easter Sunday, but so great a solemnity is Easter that Mother Church gives us 8 days to celebrate it. Every one of those days is like an Easter day, a continuous 8-day day. On Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, that's the 3rd of April, 4th and 5th, April 3rd, 4th and 5th, we will have our annual spring radiothon. My brothers and sisters, this is the most important fundraiser we have all year long. It's our largest fundraiser. We take this time during this season of Easter to make our needs known to you. They are continuous. You know, we don't have any a multi-million dollar endowment somewhere that we draw upon whenever we need extra funds. We live day to day, and that only happens because of you. I know it's a busy time of year, but it is also a time of year that we proclaim the risen Lord. And this is our mission, to evangelize, to bring that great Easter message to the world, in our own little part of the world. But, you know, with all the technology we use, we are literally going around the world with that beautiful Easter message of resurrection and salvation. And the world needs to hear it. I mean, you watch the news. Cheryl and I, we were saying last night, we were watching the news. And this morning, my goodness, this bridge in Maryland, in Baltimore, that was struck by a cargo ship and people perish. It's just horrible, these things that are happening around the world. And all the deception, all the lies, all the hatred, all the anger, the attitude men and women have toward each other in today's culture, in today's world, so many people who are without Christ, and that's the reason. That's the reason. And even, you know, sadly, some people who call themselves Christians and Catholics are living a life very unworthy of being called a child of God. We have to proclaim the Easter message loudly, boldly, without compromise, in season, out of season, and on April 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, during that beautiful Easter week, we're going to come to you, as we do every year in the spring, and ask you to open your hearts and support this work. We are a commercial-free, nonprofit 501c3 apostolate. So we can't sell time on our radio stations. We can't advertise. We count on you. And so many of you for so long have been supporting this work. And I promise you one day, my brothers and sisters, as a good priest once told me, you'll never know until you get to heaven just how many people and how many lives were touched because of your generosity and your faithfulness to this mission. So please, as we approach Easter, and we're going to enter into this beautiful Triduum, and we're going to broadcast all these beautiful liturgies and share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is risen and he has saved the world from sin and death. And if people are feeling lonely or sad or angry or hate-filled or abandoned or in any way disconnected from life, to return to the Lord, whose arms are open wide for all brothers and sisters, to be embraced by the risen Christ. And we want to proclaim that message years to come. Because literally, my friends, and I say this and it's the truth, I'm not making it up, we literally live month to month. If there comes a time where our funds are not there and we can't pay our bills, we're off the air, and that message stops being proclaimed. The Lord has provided for over 20 years for domestic church media. And this year, now especially, I believe more than ever, we need you, because we have to continue to open these airwaves and bring that light of Christ, that beautiful Easter message of hope and salvation to the world. But it doesn't happen without you. So please pray, pray, pray. This is a season of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, this season of Lent. And soon, as we go through the Easter Triduum and enter into the beautiful season of Easter, we'll ask you next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th, to open your heart and to support the work that we're doing here so that people can hear that message, that beautiful Easter message that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that he has conquered sin and death, that he has opened up the gates of heaven, and that there is a place for every single person in paradise, if you want it, because of this beautiful, beautiful gift that Jesus gives us in his passion, death, and resurrection. So I ask my brothers and sisters, please, don't hold back. Next week, now, we're not going to preempt all of our programming for those 3 days. You'll still hear your parts of your favorite program. We come in and out, as you know, Bruce, Cheryl, and I, hosting the Radiothon. But we ask you this year in a special way to really, really make that sacrifice that you can. You know what's within your means. Because we have to be here for the Lord. Not for me, but for Jesus. Okay, let's go to Holy Father's message from Palm Sunday. Again, you know, the Holy Father was saying Mass, but he didn't give the homily. He gave the written text to another person to read. But this is what the Holy Father said, in effect. Dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we've prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today, we gather together to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery, that is to say, of his passion and resurrection. Sorry. A little slow on the computer here. The Holy Father invited the crowd to follow in Jesus' footsteps as he entered Jerusalem, so that being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and in his life. And you know, my friends, today I was thinking as I was sitting in chapel, praying my liturgy of the hours, rosary. We all have suffering. There's no one is exempt from suffering. We all do. We all have something in our lives that's causing suffering. Some greater than others, some longer than others. But suffering is there. It's part of our fallen nature. Right? And I was thinking as I was sitting in prayer and asking the Lord for particular favors that Cheryl and I have been praying for a number of years now. And I thought, this is the week. This is the week we can, as I gazed upon the crucifix, as it went through sorrowful mysteries today. This is the week that we really can take whatever suffering the Lord has allowed to enter into our lives and really, in a very beautiful and holy way, unite it with the suffering of Jesus that he endured for us. You know, as we pray, again, today being Tuesday, we pray the sorrowful mysteries, and we'll pray them again on Good Friday, and we'll read the Passion, we'll hear the Passion. To take whatever suffering we have, and as I said, you know, for some it is greater than others, for some it's been lingering for a long time, for some it's all of a sudden come upon you, perhaps this week, Holy Week, the Lord allows it as a special gift, believe it or not, for you and your salvation. To take that and really place yourselves united with Jesus in a special way in his Passion, in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the pillar for the scourging, feeling the piercing of the thorns in your head, the carrying of the cross, exhaustion, falling down, walking toward the place where you will be united with him on the cross. This is a beautiful week to do that. And so, Holy Father said, being made by his grace partakers of the cross, may we also have a share in his resurrection and in his life. The Holy Father gave a brief reflection on the gospel account of our Lord's entry into Jerusalem on a donkey as the Prince of Peace. He said, dear brothers and sisters, Jesus entered Jerusalem as a humble and peaceful king. Let us open our hearts to him. Only he can deliver us from enmity, hatred, violence, because he is mercy and forgiveness and the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Father said, oops, sorry, I lost it. Wait a minute. Where'd it go? my computer just kind of went a little bit. See that? You know, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, the American exorcist, says the demons love to get into technology, and I think they've just done that here. I lost what I was sharing with you. Oh boy. We'll go back to the beginning. Look back to the drawing board here. Let's see. Sorry. Please bear with me. Technology and live radio sometimes don't jibe. let's see. Well, I guess it seemed to have disappeared. Sorry about that. Let me go back. Well, I guess we'll have to just wing it because I don't have the Holy Father's. His whole homily disappeared. Isn't that very, very strange? Okay, so let's talk about that. We're going to go to Father Fernandez when we come back from break and talk about the kingship of Christ during this Holy Week. You know, I was watching, again, the news last night. I probably shouldn't watch the news anymore during Holy Week, especially. it gets my blood pressure up. When I hear you know what bothers me? It's the deception. It's the lies. And you know, of course, we know who the father of lies is. We know who the prince of this world is. And we know that that he never tells truth. Satan never speaks truth. He'll convince us. You know, you hear the term today a lot about gaslighting, you know, gaslighting, people who gaslight. What is gas? It's interesting because it was a movie back from 1944, Alfred Hitchcock, called Gaslight, where a husband was, the plot of the movie was the husband was trying to convince his wife that she was going crazy. So he would say things that she didn't, she had never said, but he was convincing her she did, and things she, and that's what people do today. They gaslight. They tell you things that you did. And in a general sense, you know, and people, and you begin to think that maybe I did say that. You know, anyway, it's lies. It's deception. It's evil. And I think of our Lord before Pilate, and we'll, of course, in our when we read the Passion, we hear this every year when our Lord stands before Pilate, and Jesus, you know, Pilate questions him, you know, and he says, "What is truth?" to Jesus. "What is truth?" And there is Jesus Christ right in front of him, the way, the truth, and the life, truth itself personified, and Pilate could not recognize it. What is truth? And truth stood before him. And see, today, the devil, who is, again, the great liar, convinces the world that men dressing up as women should be called she or her or they or them, whatever their self-defined pronoun is. This is kind of silly, isn't it? But it's lies. It's lies. That two people of the same sex can get married. Lie. That the unborn child is not a person. Lie. That giving an older person a drug that will kill them is merciful. Lie. That two people who've been married in the sight of God and the church can divorce. Lie. That it's taking children across international borders and selling them as objects of sexual pleasure is okay. Lies. That legalizing drugs, marijuana, and other drugs is good for the population. Lies. All these things that once were called evil are now being considered and called good. Lies. And what was once considered good now being called evil. Lies. The father of lies is taking the hearts and minds, especially of our young people, and twisting it in such a way, convincing them that they should not be comfortable in as the person God created them to be. They should be somebody else, you know, with whether it be same-sex attractions or other things, convincing them this is okay, this is natural, normal. Lies. So when Pilate was face to face with Jesus and said, "What is truth?" And truth himself, personified in the person of Jesus Christ, stood right before him, and Pilate could not even recognize him. Just like 33 years before that, when Joseph and Mary were wandering Bethlehem at the time of census looking for a place where the Son of God could be born. And people were so busy and involved in their own business and themselves and the world that they didn't even know the greatest event in human history was about to take place in a manger in that little town. Again, could not recognize truth. The world is under the influence of the great deceiver. The world is under the influence of Satan. And we bring the light of Christ into this world of darkness. That is our job, my friends, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is our responsibility by virtue of our baptism. And this year, as we enter into these days, these holy days, where we remember exactly what Jesus did for us in his passion, his suffering, and his death, that we have a responsibility to take that message out into the world and proclaim it to the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that sin and death are conquered on that cross. I'll take a break. When I come back, we'll go to Father Fernandez and talk a little bit about the kingship of Christ. So stay where you are, my friends, on this Tuesday of Holy Week. Be right back. More to come.
The Gospels did not start the church. The church started the Gospels. The church did not come out of the Gospels. It was the Gospels that came out of the church. The church preceded the New Testament, not the New Testament, the church. Men did not believe in the resurrection because the gospel said there was a resurrection. The gospel writers wrote down the story of the crucifixion, for example, and the resurrection, because they believed it. Now enlighten men. The church did not come to believe in the virgin birth because the gospels tell us there is a virgin birth. It was because the living word of God in his mystical body, the church, already believed it. And they set it down in the Gospels.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields speaking to you from Food for the Journey, a program that is heard on domestic church radio Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. I want to encourage you to listen to that program, not because I'm doing it, but because I speak of the scripture readings for the day, and the word of God is what gives us life. Brothers and sisters, today we need life.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave my wife a hug this morning. I told her I love her.
Instead of sitting on the couch, I helped clean up.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
I sent my husband a love email.
What have I done for my marriage today? It's a good question.
I gave her a call and say, thinking of it. And the kids.
I did her hair this morning. I think it looks pretty good.
We're going to the museums as a family.
What have I done for my marriage today?
I made my wife coffee and breakfast this morning.
It's going to be her birthday next week, so I've been spending time today making arrangements to make that extra special.
While we're spending the day together.
I bought her an orchid.
Hassan was able to let me sleep in by taking him care of him in the morning.
I read the newspaper to my wife, and it cracked her up. But she's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Small changes can make a world of difference. Get started at foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
We want to invite you to pray the rosary with us. The rosary is many things, but perhaps the best way to think about the rosary is to think about it as a spiritual place, as an invisible chapel that you can enter into even in a busy time of life.
Pray the Holy Rosary with Father Benedict Groeschel, mornings at 9:30, right here on Domestic Church Radio.
Hi, I'm Mike Walsh, co-host of Talking Catholic. Every week, our show will bring you in-depth interviews with the hardworking people doing the Lord's work in parishes, schools, and ministries. Our increasingly secularized world often makes it easy to forget that we are surrounded by wonderful workers in the vineyard. On Talking Catholic, we will bring you their perspectives on how we can better serve God and our neighbors. Tune in to Talking Catholic on Sundays at 11 a.m. and Mondays at 4 p.m.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Jim.
And we invite you to join us every Friday at 4 p.m. for Friday Live.
2 hours of talk, music, interesting and informative interviews.
We'll also have a reflection on Sunday's Gospel, Jim Hoffman's weekend weather forecast, and you'll have a chance to call in and play one of our fun game shows like Saint of the Day or Name That Catholic Tune.
It all happens right here Friday at 4 p.m.
That's Friday Live, proclaiming the joy of the gospel, communicating hope on these domestic church media stations.
Welcome back on this March 26th, Tuesday of Holy Week 2024, my friends. I pray you're having a blessed day and looking forward to having us be a part of your Holy Week and Easter journey coming up these next number of days. And as I said, tomorrow, the 27th of March, will mark the 8th anniversary of the passing of Mother Angelica. And in honor of that, EWTN will have a special Mass tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., and we'll bring that to you live here on our stations. You know, tomorrow also, March 27th, will mark the 11th anniversary of the dedication of our Chapel of the Holy Family here at Domestic Church Media. It was on March 27th, 2013, that... our spiritual director, Father Tim Byerly, came down and said the first Mass and placed the Blessed Sacrament in our tabernacle. And Jesus has been here with us ever since. Thanks be to God. And certainly it's not taken frivolously, as you know. It's very serious. You know, when our chapel was being built through the generosity of a few people in that year, 2013, in January, when the work began to convert two old studio spaces into our chapel, and it was just really just beginning. There were beams, there was no ceiling yet, and Bishop O'Connell was here for his program, and I took him into the space, and I said, Bishop, this is going to be my little prayer room, little chapel. And he looked around. I still say this is a Holy Spirit moment where he looked around, and he said, okay, Jim, don't even ask me. Yes, you can have the Blessed Sacrament here. And with that, and you know, of course, Bishop, he, a day or two later, a couple days later, sent me documents from canon law and also from his office, making me the official custodian of the Eucharist here. And there are certain many things that have to be abided by with the real presence of Jesus here. And it's been an honor of mine to be in that position for the past 11 years. So tomorrow will mark the 11th anniversary of our first Mass here with the Eucharist, with the Blessed Sacrament, and Jesus being in the tabernacle with us. And, you know, I have to thank all the many priests over the course of these 11 years who have come and said Mass for us each month, and especially over the past few years, our good friend Father John Butler, who comes over and celebrates Holy Mass for me here and refreshes the host and the monstrance in the Luna that we put in the tabernacle. And Father was here last Thursday to say Mass. And so you know, my friends, you know, every time Mass is said here at the radio station, and it's regularly, you know, every month, you, our listeners, our family of listeners and supporters and benefactors, you are always remembered in our prayers. So, again, thanks to all the good priests over the course of these past 11 years, but especially most recently, our good friend Father John Butler, who comes over here, long, you know, his parish is in Long Branch, so it's more than an hour's drive over here to do that, but he does it faithfully, and we thank him for that. And you are remembered in prayers, and every day I still, you know, I'm in awe when I come here, and I come over here on weekends, you know, too, and just spend time in my prayer time in the chapel with Jesus. What a great blessing that is. And this is why the devil hates Domestic Church Media. This is why the devil hates you for supporting Domestic Church Media. So we put the devil in his place, right? Let's go to this reflection today from Father Fernandez for Tuesday of Holy Week, where he teaches about Jesus being king of the Jews. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from this world." And Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." This will be the last statement that our Lord will make before his accusers. After this, he will be silent, like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb. The master now finds himself alone. His disciples no longer come to listen to the lessons he imparts, having abandoned him in the very moment when there is so much to learn. We should wish to accompany him in his sorrow and learn from him to have patience in the face of small contradictions of each day, offering them up with love. And that's a nice reflection, beautiful reflection for this week, isn't it, my friends? That when Jesus finds himself at that point, the last words he speaks to his accusers, "You say that I am a king." He then finds himself alone. Where are his followers? Where are his disciples? Where are his apostles? Those men who spent 3 years with him, they know. They saw what he did. They saw the miracles. They heard his teachings. They had those beautiful times together alone with him. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the course of those 3 years, after a day of preaching, and then at night Jesus and the apostles, you know, find a place of rest? There had to be conversation before they retired, you know, just kind of going over the day. Wouldn't you have, because there's no account of that in the gospel, but in Scripture, but wouldn't you have loved to have heard what those conversations were? Just to hear the talk back and forth, going over what they had seen, what the Lord had done, and what questions the apostles might be asking him. But now he finds himself alone. They're nowhere to be found. And again, the beautiful reflection that we can have this week: we should wish to accompany him in his sorrow and learn from him to have patience in the face of the small contradictions of each day, offering them up with love. So in our own loneliness, our own sense of abandonment, perhaps, from family and friends, acquaintances, we feel perhaps that we see contradictions in our life, that we can learn patience from Jesus and offering up our own little sufferings. And Father says, thinking that in this way he might placate the hatred of the Jews, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. This is the scene we contemplate in the second sorrowful mystery of the Rosary. Bound to the pillar, covered with wounds, the blows of the lash sound upon his torn flesh, upon his undefiled flesh, which suffers for your sinful flesh. More blows, more fury, still more. It is the last extreme of human cruelty. Finally exhausted, they untie Jesus, and the body of Christ yields to pain and falls limp, broken, and half dead. You and I cannot speak. Words are not needed. Look at him. Look at him slowly. After this, can you ever fear penance? When this happened, the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Today, as we contemplate Jesus proclaiming his kingship before Pilate, We should also meditate upon that scene contained in the third sorrowful mystery of the Rosary, a crown of thorns. Driven in by blows makes him a mock king, and with their blows they wound his head, and they strike him and spit on him. You and I, haven't we crowned him anew with thorns and struck him and spat on him? Never again, Jesus, never again. Pilate went out and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." Jesus, adorned with the mock insignia of royalty, hides and yet at the same time gives a glimpse of his greatness as King of Kings under this most tragic exterior. The entire creation is subject to his slightest gesture. The weaker he appears, the more promptly should we wish to affirm this title of his, which he possesses by his own right. His kingdom is a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. As we contemplate these scenes of the Passion, Christians cannot forget that Jesus Christ is a king with a heart of flesh like yours. Neither can we forget that there are many people who are ignorant about him and reject him. And you know, my brothers and sisters, I'm reading this to you, and I'm thinking, this is why it is so important for domestic church media to be here. This is why we need Catholic, not just this Catholic apostolate, but all Catholic radio, all Catholic television, all Catholic internet. Because, as Father writes, there are many people, so many people, who are ignorant about Jesus, who don't even know him. And there are so many people, and we probably all know many of them, I do, people who reject Christ, reject his teaching, reject his church, people who were baptized and raised in his church by loving parents, but who in their own stubbornness and their own way of life reject Christ and reject his teachings and reject his church and long have left. And we need to proclaim that message here using the means that we have of communication, but even individually in each one of our lives, we proclaim that message by how we live, how we love, how we forgive, how we show mercy, how we open up our hearts and minds to others and their needs, both corporal and spiritual. Father says, many people are not aware that Christ is the only Savior, the one who gives meaning to human events, to our lives. In him is found the joy and fullness of desire of every heart. He is the true model, the brother of all, the irreplaceable friend, the only one worthy of all of our confidence. Contemplating the king crowned with thorns, we should tell him what we want, that we want Christ to reign in our lives, in our hearts, in our works, in our thoughts, in our words, in all that we are. Jesus Christ is king over all beings, Father writes, since all things were made through him, and in a special way over all men who have been bought with a price. The angel had already told this to Mary, "You will bear a son, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And if I can just make a little aside here and go back to Christmas time, that's why I have such a problem with that Christmas song, or so-called Christmas song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Mary knew. The angel told Mary, "You will bear a son." and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary knew. But I divert. Father says his kingdom, however, is not like those of this earth. During his public ministry, he never once accedes to the enthusiasm of the crowds, who viewed things too humanly and with a number of ambitions which were merely intemporal. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the hills by himself. Nevertheless, he accepts the messianic act of faith made by Nathanael. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In fact, our Lord recalls an ancient prophecy in order to confirm and add depth to these words. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, Jesus affirms his condition as Messiah and Son of God. The Jewish authorities, blinded by their incredulity, even manage to acknowledge the exclusive political power of Caesar, the Roman, as long as they can reject the kingship of Christ and be rid of him. And isn't that what people would love to do today? Get rid of him? Get rid of this Christian message? Get rid of this church? Get rid of these disciples, these apostles, these living saints who walk the earth today, still 2,000 years later? Isn't that what people would love to do? Be just like Caesar? And make the world and the things of the world the things to which we aspire, to be of the world. You know, and I'm sure every single one of you listening, watching right now, you know, when you do the best you can to live a good holy life, to improve on your spirituality and you know, whether you're additional spiritual exercise, your prayer life, your whatever it is, you know you'll find distractions, you'll find obstacles that the enemy puts in place trying to trip you up, just like he does with me here. He can't stand it. I go back and many years ago now, in the very beginning of my work in Catholic media, Catholic radio apostolate, God rest his soul, a beautiful priest, Pauline priest from the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa up in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Father Marian Zalecki, God rest his soul, he passed away a number of years ago, probably 20 years ago. The first time I met him, and he had this beautiful white hair and a gorgeous Polish accent. He had a great devotion to our Blessed Mother Mary. He always reminded me in many ways of St. Pope John Paul II, who was our pope at the time. The first time I met him, someone brought him to the radio station where I was working to be a guest on my program. I had never met Father Marian before this, never. My first meeting, my first introduction to him, and the person said, "Father, this is Jim Manfredonia. Jim, this is Father Marian Zalecki." And I went to extend my hand to shake his hand. Before he did that, he pointed his finger at me. "Jim," he said, "the devil hates you." The devil hates you too, my friends, because you're listening to Catholic radio. The devil hates you because you go to confession. The devil hates you because you go to Mass. The devil hates you because you pray. The devil hates you because you love our Blessed Mother and Jesus. The devil hates you because you invite the Holy Family to live and dwell in your home. The devil hates you because you strive to be holy. In this time of this beautiful time, this beautiful holy week, you know, there's on at the end of Good Friday service and through Holy Saturday until the Easter Vigil, where there's no Eucharist. You can almost feel the devil wringing his hands and rubbing his hands together. Got to be on our guard. But sure, the world wants to get rid of Christ. They want to get rid of Christianity. Think about it. I mean, for 2,000 years, no other kingdom, principality, organization, country has lasted ever that long except for the church that Jesus Christ founded upon the rock of Peter, the Catholic Church, his church. And sure, the world, just like Caesar in those days, just wants to get rid of Christ. We were watching the Cheryl and I began watching Jesus of Nazareth Sunday night, and the scene, the horrible scene of the Holy Innocents, where Herod was so threatened by a new king that he ordered his soldiers to kill every male child up to 2 years old and slaughter the innocent babies, hoping to destroy the one who had come into this world as king. And ever, people have been, the powers that be, earldly and worldly powers, have always been threatened by the kingship of Christ since then. Whether it's a king, a ruler, a president, whoever, threatened by the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this week, we remember exactly what Jesus did for us. And we remember his kingship. You know, this beautiful kingdom of peace, this kingdom of love, this kingdom of charity, this kingdom of forgiveness, of which we are a part and called to be a part. So as we go through Holy Week, and I'll be with you again tomorrow, and then that'll be it for the week, because we then turn over programming for the Triduum. Hopefully to continue this beautiful reflection that Father Fernandez shares with us on our Lord's passion. Today, his kingship, what he did for us 2,000 years ago and during those 3 days, his suffering and death and eventual resurrection, and what he has done for us for 2,000 years through his church to bring us this great hope and this great message of salvation, of eternal life in Christ. So I thank you, my friends, for being here today, and I will be back tomorrow, God willing. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and we'll look forward to seeing you at 4 o'clock tomorrow. God bless you. God love you. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thanks for listening.